You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Hi, this is Phil Rogers, MLB.com Extras, Cincinnati Reds edition. As always, joined by excellent Reds beat writer Mark Sheldon. Mark, you staying warm?
Trying my best. It's not so bad in Cincinnati like it is in Chicago, but Arizona's right around the corner, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And before we touch on that, a cold day in Chicago last weekend. Ernie Banks was put to rest. Awesome memorial service there. And I'm bringing it up on the Reds edition because one of the people there mourning the loss was Sean Marshall, Reds relief pitcher. And do you know Ernie Banks' connection to Sean Marshall, Mark? Apologies for the pop quiz.
Yes, I do, actually. I wrote about it last spring or the spring before. Sean, of course, is a former Cub. And when he got married to his wife, Ernie Banks was the officiant. He performed the ceremony. So he always had a fond memory of Ernie and talks very highly of him. I wish I could have met him. I never did, but Sean Marshall definitely spoke highly of him.
Yeah, Ernie loved a wedding. He was always trying to play matchmaker. And when Sean married Sarah, he was right there in the middle getting the I-dos from him. Awesome. Everybody will miss Ernie as we move forward in for the 2015 season. One MLB.com item recently, I think, or long-awaited, the top 100 prospect rankings by Jonathan Mayo and Jim Callis. And the Reds, highly regarded, Robert Stevenson, top pitching prospect, was number 24 overall, which, Mark, I think that to be that highly regarded, given that he's a guy that is still finding and has some control issues. Last year walked 74 and 136 and two-thirds innings, in the lower minors. I mean, that really speaks to his high-end potential, don't you think?
Yeah. Stevenson didn't have the greatest of years. I think one of the things they liked is that he kind of went through some adversity because they would like to see him obviously go through that kind of stuff and control issues and work it out down there than doing it up in the major leagues. But, they really do like what he has in terms of his tools. His fastball is, reaches 98 rather consistently. He can put it 100 if he has to. And, he still has to work on some of the secondary pitches, but he still has a good mix and things like that. But it was a learning year for sure at AA. And he's got another year plus maybe to get it together. And, with the rotation that could be in flux in the post-Johnny Cueto era, if there is such a thing here in Cincinnati, he might be one of the guys that wants to vie for a spot.
Yeah, absolutely. And just behind him, Jesse Winker, ranked number 26 overall, a guy we've talked about a lot this winter. Is there any way he could hit his way into the picture in spring training, or is he a guy, when you look at an outfield that now appears set with Marlon Byrd in left field, that you would just say, look at him early, but don't even think about it?
Yeah, it'd be hard for him to get a spot unless, of course, injuries come in or things like that. You don't want to have Jesse Winker make the team as a 25th man and then sit on the bench and, pinch hit. That wouldn't help him in his development. One of the things that kind of hurt him a little bit was he had that car accident in July of last year and missed most of the entire second half, not long after he got called up to AA. I think he only had like 21 games in AA, and he'll need some more time. And he had a great Arizona fall league, and he's definitely told me he's doing great and feels no effects and he wants to hit the ground running. He's obviously excited about going to his first big league camp. So we'll see what happens. But I would suspect that, he could hit his way onto the AAA roster with a really nice spring, or he could go back to AA and then perhaps put himself in position to be a September call-up at the end of the season and then perhaps compete for a starting position in left field in 2016.
Hey, one guy with the Reds that's been traveling, man, is the strength and conditioning coach, Sean Marone. Am I pronouncing his last name correctly?
You are, yes.
All right. right. I know he's made house calls on Joey Votto in Toronto, Jay Bruce in Texas. I'm not sure who all else, but all signs seeming to point up from the players who were injured last year. Just how positive is that, if they could start the spring training and have, all the core guys good to go?
Well, considering that they're hinging pretty much all their hopes of contending in 2015 on the returning players that were injured last year, it's colossal. Joey Votto, of course, chief among them. If they don't have him at his with his track record, and he's not performing up to the standards that he's set very high in the past years, they're gonna have a tough time contending. But they believe that he's doing well, that his strength is up, and his agility is doing okay. And the reports from Sean and Walt Jocketty and Brian Price have been pretty positive. And we'll have to see, obviously, what happens when we get to Goodyear and see what he's up to and how he's doing and how he's performing. As for Jay, they really don't feel like it's a talking point anymore, and at least Jay doesn't. He feels like he did all the rehab in the offseason. He feels 100%, and it's something that he's hoping to put the 2014 season behind him, because obviously it was a miserable year for him, and he has a lot to kind of make up for it in his mind probably going into 2015.
Our colleague Richard Justice did an interesting thing where he looked at the most important guy for each team this season, and his Reds pick was Homer Bailey, which seems a little... I think most people would jump right there to Votto. He seems to be the guy that gets the attention. But what do you think about Homer Bailey as a key? Not only does he have to come back health-wise from the flexor surgery, but also, kind of take a step forward with his performance too.
Yeah, he's definitely important. I still think Votto is the most important, in my own personal opinion. But, of course, as pitching is – really what is the bread and butter, especially of teams that are trying to go far in the postseason and things like that. And Homer Bailey is going to have to be chief among that. When he first kind of came into the major leagues and developed, he was kind of a back of the rotation guy. And now through the attrition and the trades and then everything else, he's penciled in right now as the number two starter, and he's going to have to pitch like one behind Cueto. So it's a big year. He didn't have the greatest performance, especially at the beginning. He did get it straightened out somewhat, and he had some really nice games until he tore the flexor mass on his in his forearm. But hopefully for him, he has a smooth spring. He doesn't have any setbacks, and they expect that he should be on target to be ready around opening day. They didn't guarantee that he'd be ready to open the season. This is back after he had the surgery, but he was already throwing and things like that, so they feel pretty good about it now. But he's definitely going to have a very big year for them to be in the middle of the race.
A guy that's landed a contract and getting a lot of praise, Devin Mesoraco. Do you see any area that you would point to that he could possibly step it up, or is it, was he at a point in 2014 that as you project forward, you just hope he can, kind of maintain the play he's had early in his career?
Yeah, I think the Reds are hopeful that he can continue to trend upward. They did obviously take a risk in some sense. Whenever you sign a guy to a long-term contract, there's some risk. He really had the breakout year last year, but his numbers that in the previous years weren't all that hot, but they really do feel like what they saw last season is the guy they're going to have for the next 4 years, and that he's going to keep improving. They like his work ethic. They like the way he does it, that he's a good character guy and things like that. I guess if he had to work on anything, it'd probably be defensively. He's gotten much better all around, as calling games, blocking, throwing, everything like that. But that's the one area I think they want to keep going on. Of course, he wants to work on his health. He did spend some time in the DL last year, and as good as his numbers were with the 25 homers and the 80 RBIs, he probably could have even had a higher number had he been healthy the entire year. So I think they're looking for big things. I think they expect that he'll, with continued experience and comfort at the big league level, and as long as he adjusts to the opponents that are now no doubt are watching film on him to see what they can do to beat him, that he continues to do well.
And last question, a late addition to the roster. I don't even know if the minor league signing has been made official, but looks like the Reds are working toward it. They don't have yet a deal with Paul Mahala, a guy that made 30-plus starts 5 times in his career. And for a team that, you know, does have some is going to have competition at the end of the rotation and might need a swingman during the season, could that be kind of a nice under the radar move?
It could be, and it's a done deal. He's got a minor league contract, and he is, like what you said, a swingman possibility. I think he'll compete to be in the rotation. It's going to be kind of a deep pool of people in that for that fourth and fifth spot. They really like Tony Cingrani and the Anthony Desclafani, who they got from the Marlins. And then, of course, they also signed Jason Marquis a couple weeks ago, and they have a few other guys that are vying for that spot, and Raisel Iglesias as well. However, if Mahalam comes in and has a good spring, he could be the latest kind of guy that the Reds have signed for nothing and gotten something out of. They did this kind of with Manny Parra a couple of years ago. They got great success when they picked up Alfredo Simon on a waiver claim and watched what he did. So if Mahalam can be that guy, he had a kind of a rough knee injury at the end of the season, at the end of the year or in August with the Cubs. But if he comes back healthy and he's got some good stuff, then maybe he's the next guy that they get when, you know, that can be kind of a low risk, high reward guy. That's something that this team kind of counts on. They don't have a lot of money to spend on areas like the last guy in the bullpen or maybe the fifth starter. They have to kind of get creative, and having a guy with a track record that's at least started a lot in Pittsburgh, he's left-handed, he can do different roles, this might be a fit for them, and it might work out.
Yeah, well, thanks very much, Mark. For Mark Sheldon, this is Phil Rogers. This has been MLB.com Extras, Cincinnati Reds edition.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, t-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.